This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Hello and welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. I have an announcement to make before we actually get into the topic, because this is episode number 80.
Very good.
Isn't that interesting? Yes. Episode 80 of Theater Geek. We have made it this far. That's really true. Yeah, I should
wait till we get to 100 and then I'll allow you to show fireworks.
We'll have a century sort of presentation. Among podcasters, among people who do this, you know, for all kinds of topics, the magic number is 7. Which is like, if you get past 7, your podcast will probably survive.
7 episodes.
Oh my Lord. It is very typical that people who just say, "Hey, I'm going to put on a podcast," that they get up to about 7 and then they don't do it anymore.
Well, it's because the people that are doing the podcast,
right,
just don't care anymore.
It's too much. Yeah. They feel like it's too much work, or they don't, you know, whatever.
They're not brilliantly involved.
That's it.
There
no, they
go.
Are not. They are not. Okay. That's true. So if you make it to 8, you're likely to survive. It's
we're
just sort of a rule.
We're 10 times 8. To us.
There you go.
Coffee.
Anyway, this is our 80th episode, and we thought that for this episode we would talk about, and we've talked about this in the past, but the importance of your front of house, in particular your box office people and ushers, and the people who are really the folks that greet the public when they come to see a show, and how important they are. It's sort of like the greeters at Walmart, you know, they make you feel welcome.
Oh, good Lord, don't tell them that. Oh.
I think I said the wrong thing. No.
They'll demand smocks.
Actually, that's true. But, you know, there is a kind of a customer service aspect, isn't there?
Yeah, sure there is.
Yeah, and it starts for our theater, it starts at the telephone or on our website, because that's where, you know, the most people are going to purchase their tickets. We don't have as many walk-up patrons as we do people who phone in or buy over on our online. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that whole thing is who's the person sitting behind the telephone? Do they have a good personality? Do they recognize names and patrons? And so for us, one of the things that we've done here actually at our theater is we have caller recognition now, so that when our box office person gets that phone call, they can look at the phone and immediately know who's calling in.
Oh, they're cheating.
So it's a really nice thing for us. And if she knows them personally, then she can call them by name. And if she doesn't know them personally, then she'll learn a little bit more about them.
Yeah.
So that's very good.
And now this is kind of a little off topic. We are experiencing a huge rise now since in the online sales
since we went online. Major. Yeah.
Really?
Because people don't. So what that means is that the more of the people that are calling are either calling with an issue or because they need maybe special attention more so than perhaps
before. Or they're
before.
Cheap. Sorry, folks, but they're cheap and they just don't want to pay the online
fee.
What is the online fee?
For us, it's only $1 per ticket, which is nothing.
Because I had a friend try and make reservations for yet another local company, mm-hmm, and the online fee was $4 per ticket.
Yeah.
So she sent her husband to the box office in person.
If you're going to go,
go
to Ticketmaster and do that. Yeah, that's a lot for community theater especially. Yeah. But anyway, but the point is that you're getting probably a higher percentage of your calls. I think it still stands. Are people who need some kind of assistance or special ticketing, which is in some cases doesn't happen online, and really or want to ask questions and get information beyond what you can put on the website.
Yeah.
And so it's important that the people that are responding that way are helpful and understanding. And
they can't remember what performance times are and that kind of thing.
Right.
That's always helpful.
And what time's the 8 o'clock show?
But you know, it's also the nice thing about the phone conversation, that initial phone conversation, is it's our first chance also to say thank you. You know, thank you for being a patron. Thank you for agreeing to come here. And I know that sounds weird, but I was on a phone call once with a mutual friend of ours here at the table. And it was Cheryl Waldman.
Oh, yeah.
And I always try and stay upbeat and stuff, but I did not say thank you at the end. And she called me on it, and it's like, you know what? You're right. I need to say thank you. Mm-hmm. It was just one of those conversations. We were having a conversation. And yet at the end of that, that person gave their money to come see a show, and thank you very much for agreeing to come here.
Right.
We know that you have choices in entertainment, so.
But it's really easy for people not to say thank you anymore. I mean, it's still one of the most important things that we do.
Whatever happened to kangaroo and please and thank you?
Kangaroo and please and thank you?
Yes.
Where's Kangaroo?
He's dead, but.
Captain Kangaroo.
That's what I said, David.
Oh, I thought you said whatever happened to Kangaroo.
No, to Captain Kangaroo, because isn't that the program where they told everybody, the children,
the magic words.
The magic word, please and thank you.
That's right.
They've gone with the wind.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
And Bunny Rabbit and his.
And then with our online, of course, then buying tickets online, you want that to just be as friendly as possible, even though there's no interaction there necessarily. But you want to make sure that your online ticketing is as easy for people to get into and to make reservations in as it possibly can be, so that they don't have issues. And often, of course, I get phone calls about the online ticketing saying, well, I couldn't do this or I couldn't do that. It's like, well, I'll check into that, but you should be able to do what you were wanting to do. So I'm not sure why you were not. And then you come to find out that either they placed the wrong date in or they didn't read the note about the fact that the box office closes online 3 hours prior to that night's performance. So that, the box office has a chance to get everything organized. So they just really don't read enough.
It's really important, yes. And some people just interact with the online world a whole lot differently than other people. And it's just, some people just aren't geared to it. And I think that we're going to have to be understanding of that for a really long time. It's not going to be, you'll never be 100% online sales. You'll never be 100% online service. It just.
More and more people are ordering things, not tickets. Well, tickets too, but I mean, household appliances and online.
Mm-hmm.
I have a friend that if she doesn't get 3 or 4 packages a week from, she's fallen off her job of ordering online.
That's right. We all have to support Amazon.
I do.
Yeah. But the point is that there is always going to be a significant segment on the ticket sales side for a theater that is not going to be online, totally electronic.
That's going to, as everybody ages, it's going to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for us, our online ticketing has now given us a 24/7 presence.
Sure.
So whereas my box office is only open from 1 to 5:30, and people have actually told me, how am I supposed to call you from 1 to 5:30 and make a reservation? And now they can make their reservations on a very reservation friendly website. They can make them 24 hours a day.
So once the ticket's sold, then people arrive at the theater, and that's when probably the bulk of our the customer service, that's the interaction between us and the theater. It's not just the show, but I mean, our theater has changed. I remember years ago, we were pretty casual about who was ushering, and it was kind of come on in and usher. It's real easy. And the box office and all that kind of stuff was fairly loosely handled, I think. And today people have to dress a certain way. They have to look right. And there's even sort of a mini training session right before each performance between the house manager and the ushers. And, how important is that?
Well, I think it's really important, don't you, Marcia? Yes. I mean, when you walk into a theater where things are kind of haphazard and you kind of feel that way about the theater, So you want it to be fairly organized up front so people see, it's a business.
Yeah.
Right.
I think also, not saying that this happens regularly, but periodically you get snafus with tickets and people that come on the wrong night or they've sat themselves down in the wrong place and they don't want to move. And it's important that you have a house staff of the house manager and however many ushers there are that knows how to handle things like that without totally pissing off the person in the seat,
Right. I mean, you do have, and some people become irate maybe even faster than they should, but they have paid for a ticket probably. I mean, unless they're just lying, but no, most of the time they've paid for a ticket. There's some sort of error and going on perhaps, but the box office personnel have to put themselves in in the customer's shoes in a sense, and be able to handle those kind of things without getting flustered. Right. It's not just the mechanics of being able to right. make it right. It's also the mechanic. It's also the personal thing that makes the person feel like, well, you know, we did everything we could to make it right.
And often, and the flustering, because it's very easy as a house manager to get flustered, uh-huh. especially if you've got a couple of things hit you all at once.
Yeah.
And just trying to stay positive and friendly, even when the customer is not necessarily positive and friendly,
right.
You know, is the important thing. Because again, you know, the house manager and the box office and the ushers, but for the up front, the house manager and the box office are the people that really are the face of the organization. And if it's a negative face, then your clientele go out with a negative feeling.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and or they carry it with them into the performance.
Right.
I mean, really, you know, the theater experience starts, you know, with buying the ticket, really, and in that contact. But it also starts the box office, the lobby experience, the, you know, interactivity with any of the theater personnel, not on stage. That's part of the theater experience. And if they have something that annoys them up front, even if they do get a seat, it colors how well they enjoy the show too, I think. And I think right. you want to make yeah. that sure that doesn't happen, or that it doesn't go badly as well.
That's what free yeah. soda is for.
That's what?
Free soda.
Free soda?
Free soda.
Oh, you know, I'm so sorry that you're sitting in a
behind
folding chair.
Behind someone who's yeah. 6 feet tall.
Right.
You can't see over his head.
So here's a free Coke. You know,
that's right.
They feel good about that then. You know,
that's
like,
right.
At least we're
yes.
trying,
and so. Then they ask for a cushion.
Then we have the cushions. Exactly. Yeah, our theater, but yeah, I don't know if all theaters do this. Maybe most do, but we offer cushions for the vertically challenged. And so that if they're in a back row, and our theater is not our audience. Our auditorium section is not raked
right.
you know, completely. Let's put it that way. It has levels, but they aren't raked. So you can end up with behind someone and you can't see really well. But, you know, that's what the cushions
what we
are
did
for.
In the days of beehives.
I don't either. But I do remember, and it was not at this theater. It was during the summer. And we were standing in line with tickets waiting to get in, and all of a sudden heads were turning because there was a gentleman walking up the hill who had to be at least 6'6".
Right.
And everybody was going, oh my God, I hope I'm not sitting behind him. We were all waiting for him to go in and sit so we could. And we weren't, but I pitied the people that were, you know, because it happens. It's not his fault. He's 6'6".
Well,
you
and though I love the Red Hatters, you know, as a house manager, to have to ask them to remove
Take off their hats.
But the nice thing is that they now realize, and so they either wear much smaller hats now, or what do they call it? They've actually started yeah. wearing more like fascinators.
Fascinators. But, they still go up a long
yeah,
way.
But, or they're, you know, the very first thing they do when they sit down then is they remove their hats now, which yeah. is really nice. And for a long time, though, they didn't think about it. Because, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, you know, if you have one of those big hats with all these ostrich plumes sticking out of the top of it,
well, it's great to see. You know, for what it is, but not for the theater.
Right. Right. What special things should we remember in terms of concessions and things like that when dealing with audience members? Just as basic courtesy, or is there more to
it's
it?
Just, it's basic yeah. courtesy. And then when they say,
giving
well, why?
The right change.
Yeah, that's
giving great. The right change, yeah. right.
It's like, and when they say, well, why can't I have a payday? It's like, because, well, we just don't sell paydays. We sell yeah, right. things that aren't messy.
Yeah. Really, yeah.
and you know, trying to get to.
Well, we've come a long way, at least, and I think the other theaters are the same way, allowing people to take mm-hmm. beverages that are not in cans
mm-hmm.
Into the theater because, oh Lord, if they spill, it's a mess, mm-hmm. you know. And I think most people who have a fear of spilling don't take them in the theater. But used to be, you couldn't take food or drink or anything
right.
into the auditorium, and that has changed.
Right.
Which, I think it encourages people to buy more stuff at intermission because they don't have to gulp it down to get back before the second act starts.
Yeah, that's right. I think you're right. You're right.
So it's a little bit of a moneymaker that way.
Sure it is. So they're much more inclined to buy a soda or something if they know they can take it
and
back.
And they don't have to rush.
Yeah. Right.
Because mm-hmm. it used to be they felt so rushed,
To
get through a small cup of like Diet Coke or
yeah.
something,
well,
that they don't drink that fast. You know?
Right.
So no.
Or coffee, which you really, you know, that if it's hot, you can't drink it that fast.
And of course,
right.
you know, another thing always is is making sure your lobby spaces are clean.
Yes.
And it's not always easy, especially in a smaller space when you've got 190 people coming in, or you know, or a larger theater where you've got 2,000 people coming in, trying to keep that space clean. And because that, again, it's an upfront kind of image that sets the whole tone for when a person walks in the building.
What about
I'm glad most of our patrons don't see my desk.
Right. Do we do an age limit in terms of who's working behind the concession stand or ushering, that kind of thing?
Hold on.
Yeah.
As the senior member of this group, you're telling me that if I wanted to work box office, I'd have to give my age card. Oh, no. They might not let me.
No, yeah, right. Wait a minute.
I think he's talking about.
I was talking about teenagers and kids because I think that sometimes
do we have any that do box office?
Yeah. Well, not box office. We don't let younger kids in the box office, and partly because we don't. It's preferable not to have young people working with the money.
Right.
If anything were to be wrong. I mean, it's just a kid can't count.
When it's working with the money, you're talking about intermission or the concession stand, not the box office when people pick up their tickets.
Well, that's – yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want a kid selling tickets.
No.
Okay. Concessions we don't have a problem with, but it's that initial – because there's more to selling tickets than just selling a ticket. I mean, there's a certain amount of accountability. Right. You have to know whether it's a senior, a student, an adult. You have to know how much they paid for it, and you have to keep track of that. And so I wouldn't put that much pressure on a kid.
Yeah.
I don't think that's fair, but I don't have any problem at all. And I think our youngest usher has been like around 12.
Oh, really?
You know, maybe even younger.
Well, if they know where the seats are and they can help people.
Seats are and they can count up to 6 or 12, you know, they're good to go.
That's right.
You know? And I like it because I like people coming in and going, oh, look, there's our next generation. You know,
do they all say that when they walk through
the
door?
I don't know, but I think
– oh,
I
look.
Think I do.
Our next generation.
I do. Yeah.
I go, what's that kid doing in here?
See, Marcia, I'm about ready to hit the big 6-0, and John's told me that I can no longer usher after that.
That's true.
So.
I never
well,
said
hey,
that.
Well, hey. You know, and I
You've
can't
never
hardly,
ushered to begin
I can
with.
Hardly come in the door.
Neither of you have ever ushered. I feel like, really? I usher all the time. Neither of you have ever ushered.
But no, we haven't. Sorry.
Or box office. Have you?
No.
I have box office in years past. I don't care to box office very much. I'm not very good at it. And
you just have to pass out the tickets.
Well,
I
usher. I've ushered all the time. I've ushered a lot. Probably not a lot recently.
So you know what? I would usher if a call went out, we really need ushers.
Yeah.
I figure a lot of the people that are ushering maybe can't afford to buy a ticket. And so they want to see the show. And who am I to deprive them of that choice?
Right.
So
and most are. It's either that or they want to see the show again.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, we find that especially with like our youth theater productions where the parents pay to come see it once and then they volunteer their time either to work with the kids.
Right.
We talked about the working with the kids in the basement so they can keep the kids calm and cool, or ushering or working the box office. And some of our best box office people have come from parents who were here to work with their just to watch their kids in shows and they've enjoyed getting involved and have become more involved even after their kids have graduated.
Well, that's kind of a good point because here we're back to youth theater and how you're bringing that next generation up. But you know, the parents of that next generation may be looking for ways to become involved, and oftentimes if their kid is having a good experience, they're going to be the best boosters and a good public face for the theater as box office or ushers as well, because they want people to enjoy their kid on stage and the shows that we do and that kind of stuff. So,
absolutely.
Yep. So,
and I had a great question. I can't remember it because some people talk too much.
That's okay, because we're about to wrap up.
Okay.
As a matter
now,
of fact.
Now, the minute we wrap, I'll think of my question.
We'll do sudden death overtime.
Oh, I know what it was.
Ah.
Okay, but it's just for John.
Too late.
Oh. No. What do you think about ushers that stand there and they hand you a program and say, do you know where your seat is?
Yeah.
And if you say yes, then maybe you have to stumble down looking for the number on the chairs. You know, to me, why are you there? Why don't we just then have a stack of programs and you can take one as you go in?
Sit wherever you want to.
The only time that I think that's acceptable is when you have general seating, you know, and here's a program, go sit down. But if you have a ticket that has a number, a seat number on it, And it's always in our, because we have a box office and a house manager usher briefing before every performance.
Yeah.
And that's always the very first thing I say to my ushers is that, do not let them tell you where they're sitting. You tell them where they're sitting.
And take them
And take them there and right. sit them down and make sure that their ticket has the right date on it. Because so often either they've come one weekend early or one weekend late.
Right.
Which could have happened tonight if I had, like, for example, at the current show, because we had somebody call box office yesterday saying that they were expecting to be here tomorrow. And it's like, no, your tickets were for last week. So that could have created a huge issue tonight. But at the same time, it just makes sure that if they're not sitting in the right seat, then you don't have this massive amount of confusion 3 minutes yep. before the curtain.
Good.
And so, no, my ushers, our ushers, this theater's ushers, and most, I think most where they do briefings before,
right.
They take the client to the seat and make sure that they're sitting in the right seat.
Right. But now our ushers and box office show up, what, about a half hour before
They're called 1 hour prior to.
1 hour prior to performance. And probably about 10, 15 minutes after they arrive, there's a briefing for everyone from the house manager about any special situations right. to Thank remind you. Them exactly. of what they should do and some of the procedures in case they've forgotten.
Exactly.
And so,
We talk about emergency procedures, even if they've heard it. We talk about what happens if there's a fire, what happens if there's a tornado, what happens if there's a blackout, what happens. We go through that whole thing.
No screaming.
And no screaming.
No screaming.
Stay calm. But because again, you
Keep
are
calm
the face
and carry
of the
on.
Yeah. If you're calm and collected, then exactly. most people are going to stay calm and collected.
That's right.
So I say, please don't run screaming from the building.
All right. We hope you don't run screaming from Theater Geeks, but we've gone overtime, but that's all right. Remember to follow us. We actually do have a Facebook page. Check out the show notes at theatergeeks.com. You can also find links to our online store where you can buy cups, mugs, underwear.
I didn't say it, Marcia. I said it
this time. And what else we have on the online store?
Teddy bears,
t-shirts, hats, all kinds of good stuff. That's at theater. Just follow the links at theatergeeks.com. We are also on Stitcher Smart Radio for your iPhone or Android devices. And we are also on the Blueberry Network. And I can't think of another darn thing to say here. And we have all that good stuff. All those good places that you can listen to us. Of course, we are on iTunes, and so you can pick us up on your favorite podcatcher. Do we have anything else we need to say?
I don't know, Dave. You said a lot.
I said a lot. I kind of covered
really
it all.
Lot.
Underwear.
All right. Yeah, buy the underwear. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shout.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.